going through so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, God's on your side.
When every mountain sinks to high, when every river looks too wide, when my dreams are lost at sea, Jesus rescues me. A faith is strong, it carries me.
I know you're looking for an answer, searching for some hope to hold. Those empty hands will leave you waiting and praying for a miracle. Jesus hears you.
Through the blood and through the vine, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Let's give him another hand clap. Hallelujah. He is so worthy to be praised. So, hallelujah. We just love you. We praise your holy name this morning. You know, it's wonderful when you can walk into church and just let the Lord minister through us through song and through praise. As it was stated in our Sunday school class this morning, we need to praise and worship Him even more and more as we go through these trying times. Because He is the rock.
Amen.
He is our foundation.
Amen.
And we're just going to build everything that we have on the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful morning. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I just thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to open the doors this morning and feel this beautiful change of weather. I'm a seasonal person. I love different seasons for different reasons. And I just thank the Lord for this beautiful day He's given us. Not just what we see when He lets us wake up in that fresh breath and as we look out and get that little Christmas in our face. Christmas? Christy? Whatever it is. Coolness in our face. It's not Rice Krispies, I promise. But just to feel it in the air, it's just beautiful. Love to see y'all. Y'all look mighty beautiful this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayers. We've already opened our service with a beautiful song. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows our heart. He knows the need. He knows exactly what's there. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you again for this beautiful, beautiful day you've given us. Dear Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you've given us and the privilege to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Lord, we thank you for the freedom, dear Lord, for us to come to you directly, dear Lord, through that precious blood that you've shed for us, Jesus. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you, Lord. We thank you for the Comforter. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, dear Lord, that you've given us your Spirit. And, dear Lord, we thank you for that, just for that closeness we feel, dear Lord, that we can come together from all the different areas that we come from, dear Lord, and gather together in your name. And, Lord, now may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, as we open our service. Lord, we want to be receptive to your word, dear Lord. We want to hear your word spoken this morning, dear Lord. We want you just to prick our hearts, dear Lord. Just teach us from your mighty word. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you, dear Lord. We thank you for every ministry that you've given our church, given us an opportunity to spread out. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful facility. Lord, we ask now with the situations that happened, dear Lord, that we know you're handling it already. And, dear Lord, for all those that are going to volunteer to work, dear Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one. Lord, again, for our visitors that's here this morning, Lord, let them feel your holy presence and the love that only you can give us to share. And, dear Lord, again, we thank you, dear Lord. And for each and every prayer request now, you see the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord. We know those that are watching that are just recovering from procedures, recovering from sickness. They may be in assisted livings or nursing homes. Those that aren't able to be with us this morning, those that are traveling for whatever reason. But, dear Lord, we just ask you to touch each and every one of them. And, dear Lord, for those that are lost, and, dear Lord, those of our family members, our friends, those we work with in our community, dear Lord, but we ask that those that are lost and troubled, Lord, they'll find that altar of repentance. They'll hear the truth, and the truth is Jesus. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. While you're standing, I just feel led to this morning. It hit me early. Page 120. One we sing a lot, Victory in Jesus. Let's all just get y'all to sing and just rejoice. Most of y'all know the words to it. Amen.
Save the day.
may be seated if you can. Just tell somebody as you're sitting down how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. I know Jesus loves you. Sure does. Nobody's told you that this morning. We'll tell you. Jesus loves you. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all sound like you're ready for church this morning. Praise the Lord. We're going to get ready and take up our morning offering. Got a couple of announcements. This Tuesday night at 7 p.m. we'll be having Band of Brothers. We'll have it out in the Children's Church. So all men, you are invited. Please come. Just come as you are, if you're coming straight from work or whatever. It's not formal at all. It's just an opportunity we have to gather together. We try to do it monthly. And it'll be this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the Children's Church. And also, don't forget, we're planning the outing on October 17th. It's a Saturday. Our Band of Brothers have an opportunity to go to the lake over in Alabama. Brother Billy and them offered up his place. We went last year and it was a great time. So we'll get more information together. And any of you men that's interested, please let us know. We'll be meeting that morning. But that's next month. So this Tuesday night is our Band of Brothers here. Thank you. Praise God. Also, don't forget about the Samaritan's Purse. And thank y'all for all that you're doing about it. The Christmas shoe boxes that we're gathering. Some are already bringing some stuff together. And if you want to help by mailing, it's $9 per box if anybody feels led to help with that or just to buy some goodies. Miss Elaine has the list. Don't forget about our other ladies' ministry and all the other activities. Our food closet. I know that we're going to be in a need for some non-perishable goods to be donated. So please, if the Lord leads you, just bring some goods for the food closet. And also, they accept monetary gifts to help buy the perishable items. Praise the Lord. I don't have any other announcements. I'll let Brother Eddie cover everything else. Plan for today and all when he gets has an opportunity. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Plans, what Mercy did. We've had to change a lot of things this morning. I knew.
The cloud of the Lord has done. Amen. This is what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to leave these doors open every Sunday. Praise God. Just like the Holy Spirit just kind of swished in this tabernacle this morning. Just kind of filled all the house. Amen. How many is thankful? Amen. That we can still feel and experience. Amen. A mighty move of God. Even in the day of trouble. Even in the day of disruption. God is still God. He's still on the throne. My. What a powerful and wonderful and loving God that we serve. Let all of our visitors know how we love them. How glad we are that they're here to worship the Lord with us this morning in spirit and in truth. Before I get into the message, I just want to remind you of the water damage that we did have downstairs this morning. But thank God we had church anyway. And actually, we will not be having service tonight. There's quite a bit of cleanup and some disinfecting and drying that we're going to have to do after church today. So please excuse us. We will not have service tonight. Amen. But we try to get everything back in order. But thank God that we're able to have service this morning. Amen. In the sanctuary. And we thank you for being a part of that. And we thank God for His touch and His mighty move this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, we just want to get right into the Word of God. How many thankful for the Word of God? Go with us to the book of Haggai, chapter number 2. In the book of Haggai, chapter number 2. Thank you for standing as we read from the precious and holy Word of God this morning. In Haggai, the chapter, second chapter, beginning with verse number 5 this morning, is where we want to reference our text. Again, Haggai chapter 2, beginning with verse number 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your presence, for your Holy Spirit, for those who have gathered here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just open up these windows of heaven. God, pour out of your Spirit, your anointing upon each and every one of us. God, I ask, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, this vessel, as nothing more than an oracle, God, that the Spirit may speak to us this morning, God, that we may hear from heaven. Lord, that that word may sink deep into our heart, God, to promote growth and edification into our spirit. Praying for those who are in need this morning, those who may be sick, those who are afflicted. Praying your healing power would minister to them, God, as well as those who are lost and undone today. Father, praying for a Holy Ghost revival to fill this land, God, to bring people to an altar of repentance. And God, now we just give you praise and honor and glory as we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love Jesus with a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. This entire week, I have contemplated, recited, been blessed, been confused, been overwhelmed by a phrase that the Lord just completely laid upon my heart at the beginning of this week concerning faith. And if I had a message title this morning, I will simply entitle it what Jesus laid upon my heart: Faith Over Fear. Faith Over Fear. I want to read a quote from you this morning. The quote said, "Fear doesn't mean that you're not that you don't feel afraid. It means that you will not let your fear consume you or your actions." We all have fearful situations. We all have times when we are afraid, but that should not discourage us, amen, from placing our faith and trust in the Lord. Verse 5 talks about the covenant that God has with us. God's covenant does not change or end. What He promised, He will fulfill. Now, I want you to notice very carefully the timeline of this particular writing from the prophet Haggai. It is in the second chapter, verse 1, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day
of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, and it follows with instructions to the leaders, to the governor, to the priest, even to the members of that church, even to the members of Jerusalem there, on what they were supposed to do to pick up the pieces and begin to build Solomon's temple back that was torn down during a time of war and during a time of when the children of Israel were in captivity. But now they're picking up the pieces and they're building them again. Some Bible scholars, in fact, many Bible scholars that I referenced this week, referred to this 20th day of the month, and it said it coincides with what our present-day calendar is somewhere toward the middle of September and early October. It is exactly the time of the season that we are in now. Now, I think that means more than just a coincidence. I think that is a spiritual indication that we are in a season of where God is about to do a great and mighty work. Because God knows that we can't fix what's going on. We know that we can't fix what's going on. We can't fix what's going awry in the world today. But how many knows? We serve a God who is able to do all things, even exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever think or even imagine. So we find here that during this particular time, there is an urgency to rebuild the temple. And there's several things that are a type and shadow of what we're facing today. And also, not only that, but also the second coming of the Lord. What event was it? It was the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. How many remember reading about the building of Solomon's temple? It was immaculate. It was glorious. It was to be revered in all the land. The children of Israel were so proud of it. A Solomon, who was known as the king of peace. David was not allowed to build this temple because he was a warring king. But his son, Solomon, God blessed him with knowledge and with wisdom and with great wealth and riches. And he was able to erect a glorious and wonderful temple. And now we find that that temple has been torn down. But let me tell you something, folks, the power of God is not so much concerned about the material structure as he is about the earthly structure. The temple that the Lord desires to live in is not necessarily these houses, but it's in this heart right here where we have and accept the Spirit of God in our life. So God begins to use Haggai the prophet and begins to speak to him and tells him to go. And these are the instructions. First of all, he is to speak to the leaders. In verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, this is what you are to say. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? I want to stop and pause there for just a moment. Is there anybody in the house this morning that can remember the mighty acts and the mighty power of Almighty God? Can you remember the day of revival? Can you remember the day of victory? Can you remember the time that you came to an altar of repentance? You accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Do you remember when people actually respected God? Do you remember when Holy Ghost revivals begin to break out all over? Let me tell you, when we remember that, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if I got anybody who'll still believe that what God has done in the past, He's still able to do today. And if I got anybody to step out on faith and say, we're about to see a shaking, a spiritual shaking, a spiritual awakening. God is about to give glory, amen, to His people. Find those who remember. You want a prayer meeting? Find those who remember. Come on, you want a time of praying and seeking the will of God? Get a hold of those precious saints of God who have came up through the hard times. And they know that when everything else fails, God will never fail us. He'll bring us through again. I believe what He's done, He'll do again. And Haggai said, find those who is among you that saw this house in her first glory. How do you see it now? Many people today, given that question, would see that doom is near, that our best days are behind us, that God has forsaken us. Let me tell you, God has not forsaken us. There's many that has forsaken God, but my God has never forsaken us. If God is anything, He is a keeper of the covenant. He said, I won't leave you, and I won't forsake you, but I will go all the way with you. I serve a God who has not forsaken me. He's still real in my life. And when we get those together who still remember the power of God, the anointing of God, who has experienced revival in the land, and when we come together, we take our eyes off of the trouble and off of the strife, and we put our faith in God, there's going to be a revival. There's going to be a shaking. Amen. One probably that you and I have never even been able to be a part of. I'm looking forward, because faith, amen, is the only thing that we got to live on now. We can't exist in fear. Fear is anti-faith. Fear is not what God wants us to have. We have victory over fear, and it's through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Find them. Those who know what the first glory was. And then he tells them, he said, be strong. Be strong. Work to counteract this discouragement. Let me just stop here for just a moment. Give a little pastoral advice, if I may. When people begin to tell you they just don't see no way out of this, come on, you need to be faithful to counteract discouragement. I want to tell you something. Discouragement is contagious. Discouragement will get all over you. It'll tear you down. It'll keep you awake at night. And when you allow those around you to constantly bombard you with discouragement and anti-faith, listen, it's time for the church to speak up and say, you know what? Things don't look so good, but I serve a mighty God. I serve a risen Savior. I don't put my faith and trust in man. I put my faith in God. Hallelujah. And faith will rise over fear. So as that knowledge or as that conversation begins to turn, amen, to gloom and doom, we need to work and be strong to counteract the discouragement that breeds and is alive and well in the land today. Remember God's covenant was another instruction. Hallelujah. I've often said that the church has gone through a time of spiritual amnesia. How soon we forget the victories of God. How soon we forget His blessings and what He has brought us through. I was reminiscing this week what God had come on the scene for just me and my family during my lifetime. It is too numerous for me to even count. Many, many times when discouragement would come in, when sickness or affliction would knock on our door, amen, we knew that we served a God who was able. And I began to think and reminisce this week, and I won't tell you that there haven't been fearful times in my life. Each and every one of us probably today can share that there's been fearful times in our life. But the fear does not need to consume us. It does not need to overtake our spirit, because He that is within us, oh, somebody say praise the Lord. He that is within us has given us faith and given us power over the things of the world that comes against us. Do not let that fear snuff out the faith that God has blessed us with. Remember God's covenant. What was His covenant? My spirit is with you. He told them when they came out of Egyptian bondage. Let me tell you something. God doesn't just absolutely automatically change His mind when things get bad. His Spirit is still with us. I feel His Spirit today. I said, I feel His Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I need it. I need the Spirit of God to guide me. I need the Spirit of God to encourage me. I need the Spirit of God to lift me up. And I've never found Him to fail me. Amen. He's not going to begin to fail now. He's a never failing God. Oh, thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for His anointing. If you're trying to live in this world today and exist without the Spirit of God, no wonder there's fear in your life. No wonder there's worry in your life. But I can point you to a comforter. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter in my name. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows we have a comforter when everything around us is falling apart? And that comforter is the Holy Ghost of God. His other instruction in verse number 5. Let me read it again. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Has anybody ever been approached and said, do you remember what I said? Let me just kind of pause again with a little pastoral advice. I have referred to that many, many times in my marriage. When things began to get a little rocky and a little stormy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you haven't been married long enough. I'm not a prophet of doom, but it will happen. Amen, but you work through it, amen? With God's grace and His mercy, you work through it. And there's been times I had to tell my loving wife, do you remember what I said? The day that we held hands and stood in front of the minister, and we said our vows to you. And I said, I will love you forever. Until death do us part. You're not going to have to worry, but we may have our problems. We may have our issues. We may have our discussions. But I promised her. And that's a mere mortal promise. Somebody needs to hear today that when God promised you, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to be the redeemer, to be the propitiation, to be the mediator between you and me. I'm going to send him down and he's going to shed his blood. That's how much I love you. And because I love you, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you through every problem, through every trial. What a promise that is. What a wonderful covenant that is. God said, with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Child of God, don't ever say, where is God? Don't ever say, God, are you not aware of what's going on? He's aware. Let me follow that up. We're not always aware of what's going on. We're aware of what we see. But by faith, I see a God who's got it under control. By faith, I see a God, amen, who's going to have His remnant, who's going to have His people, who's going to protect us. We are under the shadow of His wings. Glory to God. There's not a place that we go. There's not a circumstance that we encounter that God is not there with us. Somebody ought to put your hands together, because I know you've been through some times. I know you've had some situations, but don't forget that God is with you through His promise and covenant. Glory to God. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Have faith over that fear. Have faith as Moses had faith. He was fearful to return to Egypt, but he went on faith. Noah had faith, fearful that such a heavy job as building an ark with just a few people looks impossible to man. But the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. Noah didn't go on his fear. He went on his faith. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho, looking and seeing those gigantic walls, maybe fearful that it wouldn't work. But his faith stood in God, who has never failed. David picked up the sling and stone, and by faith cast that stone that killed the giant. And again and again and again, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was fearful times, but they still had faith over fear. Now is the time that we need to exercise that faith that God has given us. The timeline we discussed, the instructions have been given to Haggai. Now comes God's promise. God's promise says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once in a little while, everybody say in a little while. How impatient we get when we're told it'll be just a little while. Sometimes we think little while means the next minute. Man, how many knows that our time is not God's time? How many knows that His time is right and perfect? And our time may not. Amen. But God will do it. But He said in a little while. Oh, and I took that and I began to put it to my heart. And I said, God, help me not to look what's going on now. Help me to look by faith at what You're going to do in a little while. Oh, in a little while. What does He say? Amen. I will shake the heavens and the earth. That means soon. Somebody turn to your neighbor. Soon. Soon it's going to be over. Soon we're going to see victory. Soon God's going to intercede. God's going to get honor. God's going to get glory. And you know what? We're going to understand and know that it was God that fixed it and not a man, not anybody else. God is the one that's going to turn this thing around. I believe that with all of my heart. Because God never fails. I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. Amen. He said, I will shake the heavens and the earth and I will shake all nations. I believe with all of my heart that other nations are going to realize that there is a God. Not one of many. Come on. There's too many nations who are serving other gods. Come on, let me just be plain with you. There's too many people in the United States that are serving other gods. My Bible tells me God is a jealous God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what happened to the children of Israel when they began to seek after strange gods. Things begin to happen to their lives. Things begin to be destroyed. They begin to be captured by other people and other nations. But as soon as they turned back to Jehovah God, God began to pour His blessings out again. Can I give out a call this morning? Seek that God, that only God, Jehovah God is His name. We need to come together regardless of denomination, regardless of what you was brought up in. And we need to come together and know that God is the only answer for America, for us, for our families, and for our nation. I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord. Then He says, don't worry about the silver and the gold. It's all mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? When my father's wealthy, I don't have to be. I'll tell you something about my father. There was a precious little lady and her son. Times was bad. I mean, there was a drought. There wasn't no running to Walmart and to the grocery store and getting any more groceries. There was just nothing to be had. And God sent His prophet, a man of God, by. And here was this lady gathering some sticks. And they was going to make a fire. And what are you going to do with that? Well, we're just going to make a fire. And we're going to take the last little bit of meal and the last little bit of oil we got. We're going to make a cake. And then we're going to die. You know, sometimes you don't always hear what you want to hear from the man of God. You know why? Because the man of God's getting it from somewhere else. Amen. When God speaks, amen, His word will remain true. The prophet said, well and good, but first, make me a cake. You know what that's telling me? God, if we'll just put it in Your hands. I ain't got much, but if I'll just put it in Your hands, glory to God. You know what the little lady did? She did it. She was obedient. She went and she made Him a cake. Glory to God. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. I'm so afraid. Had that been some of our Pentecostal people today, they would say, I just can't do that. This is all I got. This is the last I got. I can't make it for them. I can't, God, I can't give it to You. I can't give it to the man of God. But not this little lady. She just obeyed God. And you know what? God blessed her. Oh, she ran back into that house and she looked in the meal barrel and it was just overflowing. Her cupboards were slap full. The freezer was packed. The bank called and said, we can't insure any more money.
That's what we want. But not this little lady. She went back. She looked in there, and it was the same amount that was to start with before she gave it to the man of God. She took it. She made something for her son. The next time they got hungry, she went back, looked in the meal barrel. It was just enough. Glory to God. Faith over fear. Again, again, and again. What a great miracle.
Given the offering of having a full meal barrel or one that never runs out, which one would you take? Hallelujah. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. God said, I will fill this house with glory. This house. You see, Solomon's house was glorious to look on, but God honored it. You remember when the priest came in, the musicians came in, the power of God came and filled the whole house. So much so that the priest couldn't even stand to minister because the power of God was so thick. Oh, hallelujah. I long for those days. Glory to God. I long for the days when the very first song we sang, doesn't matter what it is, this glory fills the house. Hallelujah. People lay aside their heavy burdens, their weights, their problems, their issues, and just begin to serve and glorify and praise God. Now we long for that. But God's telling them it wasn't because of the gold inlays and the silver and the vessels and all of the beauty and splendor of the tabernacle. What made Solomon's temple glorious was the power of God. Come on. We can feel God even in the ruins of a tabernacle. Somebody got it. We can feel God even in the ruins of the tabernacle that's been torn down. That's been ridiculed. That's been talked about. That's been cast aside. Society has given up on. Some churches don't even want anything to do with them. But God can still feel the glory of that broken, tired tabernacle if we'll come to repentance. Open up our heart's door. Say, God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing but a sinner. God, I'm lost. Without you, come into my life. God, reconstruct me. Make me over. Fill this tabernacle with your power, with your glory. The glory that I will fill this house with. And then God makes a statement. He said that the glory will be greater than the first. Wow. Ooh. Man. I'm 68 years old. And if I can feel better than I felt when the Holy Ghost came into my life at a fairly young age. I rebuke you arthritis. I rebuke you stiffness. I rebuke you everything that comes against the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting ready for an outpouring. I'm getting ready for an anointing. I'm getting ready for victory. I'm getting ready for spiritual doors to be opened. I'm getting ready for your people to be saved. I'm getting people ready for your husbands, for your wives, for your children. Because God said the glory is going to be greater than even the first. You know why? Because we're hungrier for it. Come on. We're hungrier for it. I know the church is hungry for a mighty move, but I see people in the secular world hungry for a mighty move of God. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and come together, I will hear from heaven, heal their land. Heal their land. Hallelujah. The glory will be greater than the first. Verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. But you got to understand, God, this house don't look like that one. And you got to read Haggai to understand what's going on. They do not have the necessary materials to build it back like Solomon's tabernacle of splendor. They're limited. They're a war-torn nation. There's a remnant that is still there. They're trying to get things back together. They're trying to get their government back together. And they don't have the money. They don't have the necessary materials. But they do understand that we got to build back the house of God. America, wake up. We got to build back the house of God. Ever before we build back the cities, ever before we build back anything else, we got to build back the churches. We got to build back the house of God. We got to build back those humble servants that said, God, I'll worship you in the middle of the field, wherever it is. So we got to have your power. Hallelujah. They had very limited materials. But God said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. And then He says, and in this place, I will give peace. In this place, I will give peace. Hallelujah. You see, material structures don't necessarily impress God. I mean, if He tells us that that place prepared has streets of gold, do you think gold down here impresses Him? The Creator of all things. But I think what does move God is the Spirit that's inside the building. And the Spirit that is inside man, meaning woman too. Amen. That's what God is concerned about. This is what He's looking at when He says the tabernacle. That's where God wants to reign. That's where God wants to live. Have you left room in your life for God? Is there room in your personality, in your tabernacle, for God? Is it a temporary room, or is it a permanent structure? Does He come in and stay when you need Him, only for you to have Him exit when the problem is solved? Or have you made Him a constant abode in your life? If, in fact, in a natural sense, if you was having a guest in your house and you wanted to make that guest as welcome as you possibly could, and I know this from the way that my wife cleans a guest room. Don't go in there. Don't you touch anything in there. Been prepared for guests, because they want that guest to walk into that house and into that room, and they want them to know that they took the time to prepare that room for that honored guest. And I don't want you to get any misconceptions, because when Jesus came into my life and my house was a mess, before I forgot forgiveness, I said, God, you can't go there. That's off limits. Don't bring that up. That door's closed. Oh, but something happened one night in an altar. I forgot about my pride. I forgot about the skeletons in the closet. And I realized that God already sees it. He sees through closed doors. And I just begin to bawl like a baby. I said, God, just come in and clean it all up. Just come in, Lord. Every part of my mind, my heart, my soul, my body, it's yours as an open door. Come in, Lord. Wash me thoroughly. Clean me. Purge me. And fill me with your Spirit. And in this place, I will give peace. It is a type and shadow of the glory and peace in the New Jerusalem. What we see here
basically is a transformation in time. Same God, different circumstances, different consequences. A time when the house of God stood tall, beautiful, splendorous, whatever the word is, purdy. But it was torn down. But what the enemy failed to realize is you can't kill the spirit that's in the building. So now the building is being reconstructed. Not as pretty as it was, not as nice as it was, but the power that is in it is still just as real. And God said, this is where you need faith over fear. Things have been torn down in your life and they're not as good as they once was. Remember that God is still able to build it back and to fill that spirit greater than it ever was. And what I see here too is a type and shadow of the Son of God that is to come. This was before the dispensation of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. This was before the dispensation of grace. This was before the dispensation. This was before Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. But He came, amen, to fill the tabernacle with power greater than the power that filled the temple of Solomon. And again, I'll remind you what temple we're talking about. And I believe God's word backs it up. I believe God has a purpose for every prophet, every prophecy that went forward. Not only was it needful and timely in that era and in that time, but I believe it also points as a type and shadow of things that are to come. Now, I'm not stepping out on prophecy. I do not consider myself a prophet. I just consider myself one who reads the Bible and said, God, that really, really looks like the type and the timeline that we're living in. And when I read that that particular time of that month was in our calendar time, somewhere around the end of September, early October, you know, after the feast, I think, of the tabernacle, after all of that had taken place, you know, God uses certain things in certain times, amen, to really, really work. But the thing that I see, that when it gets to where it looks like nothing in the world is going to fix it, God steps in. Why? Because that's the reason He gets the honor and the glory. If we fixed it, how many of us would really praise God? But when He fixes it. But let me tell you when that fix is going to take place. I believe with all of my heart. And understand, I'm not prophesying a specific time. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you this is a type and shadow of Revelation 21. Listen to the words of Revelation 21 that was written after the prophecy. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. How many knows this being prepared? As a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall. Oh, fear, did you hear that? And God shall. And worry, did you hear that? And God shall. Sickness, did you hear that? And God shall. Oh, discouragement, did you hear that? And God shall. Hallelujah. Wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. And that latter glory is going to be greater than the first.
Woo, we sing a song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will shout and sing. Hallelujah. We will praise Him forever and ever in that glorious place prepared, amen, as a bride for her groom. Faith over fear. Sometimes it's hard to say faith instead of fear, because we can still have fear and still have faith, as long as the fear does not consume us or consume our actions. But even though we fear situations, we have faith to believe that God is able to do all things. Do you believe that this morning? Do you love a God who loves you? Will you strive with me to be more faithful, to put our faith and trust in a never-failing God, one who won't leave us, who won't forsake us, but will always make a way? Would you stand as our music returns for just a moment? If you have a need, if you have a situation, this altar is open. Hallelujah. Give you an opportunity to bring your trouble, bring your cares. If you're lost and undone, if you've gone cold in the Lord, and maybe your faith is not where it needs to be, there's no better time to renew that relationship with the Lord than right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Maybe just a verse or two of Jesus. There's something about that name. You know, sometimes I don't have an opportunity to pray a long, long prayer. Maybe something happens unexpectedly. Maybe there's an emergency or about situation about to happen. All I can do is cry the name of Jesus. But that Spirit is so near that Jesus can take control of whatever it is. Worship the Lord as we pray today.
But there's something about